How about that?
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Public Works Advisory Board meeting of April 16th. Call the meeting to order. Let it be known that five of us are here. Matt Matawoski and Jane Wilsbach have a legitimate reason to be excused. They will not be with us tonight. And let us now entertain a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And acceptance of the agenda. Do I have any questions?
Accepted.
Move to accept the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Any announcements?
I have one that actually we probably all received in our water bill. It's the city, and actually it should be coming up on the overhead, but the city's part of Healthy Watersheds, Healthy Gardens workshop. There's actually going to be two of them taking place April 25th and 26th. And you can get more information about these workshops, which will focus on techniques to work with your garden in a way that doesn't require as many chemicals, water, and inputs, and increase the health and vibrancy of your garden. Should be interesting. We have a couple of guest speakers from out of the area, and you can get more information about these workshops at 772-6261. Rachel Grossman is the organizer or the contact. And you could also hear more about these at the website, ourwaterourworld.org.
Very good. Thank you, Noah. Do we have any written communications?
No, sir.
Seeing none, we will go to public comment from the audience. Anybody who wishes to make a public comment may do so, please, at this time. State your name. You're allowed 3 minutes. And seeing no one, we will continue to the consent calendar. Approval of the minutes of March 19th, 2008.
We already did that, didn't we?
No, that was the agenda we approved. That's all right. The minutes, does anybody have any questions or updates or corrections?
Good to me.
I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes as recorded.
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Now we go to the directors.
Starting on what we're referring to as the surface improvements, which would be the demolition of the existing curb, gutter, and sidewalk, building the new alignments about the beginning of the month. We've worked out a traffic control plan with the contractor for three phases of construction of the surface improvements, which will not result in any detouring of traffic. We'll keep a minimum of two lanes of traffic open at all times, with the exception of at the very end when we do the overlay, which will probably be at night, and then when we're building the actual center circle itself, we'll have to keep the semi-trucks and the large trailered vehicles off there, those ones that need to use that run-up apron. If you recall, you've got the center of the landscape island, and then outside that is the concrete run-up apron for the semi-trucks. While we're constructing that, we'll have to keep the semis off for a few days. And with any kind of luck, we'll be moving forward with increased speed as we eliminate our conflicts.
Briefly on that item, this last discussion, I believe it was at the City Council, there was talk of an education and outreach component to try to help with awareness.
Yes.
And so let some of the residents know the details and guidelines for working with the roundabout to help alleviate any potential traffic issues regarding that.
The police department is putting one together. I'm cobbling one together, and our intent is, as we get closer to completion, is to have a firm do a video of this intersection. There's lots of videos available about how to negotiate a roundabout in Vail or Lacey, Washington, or some other locale, and I thought it was appropriate to bring the firm here to do one on the site. So that would be as we approach the end of the construction when we start to see the configuration that will be doing that.
Have you thought of making that available at the library?
Absolutely.
Great.
Let's see. What did we want to talk about also? The nitrate analysis, where we are with that, as you recall, the board discussed this at your April meeting, at your March meeting. We went to the city council. The city council directed us to work with the various public agencies to mitigate the problem. We sent off a letter to the regional board. They're the keeper of all the records. As you may recall, the folks from the agricultural waiver program were here. So we've requested to get some information from them and to start meeting to see what we can do to help them mitigate this problem. And we're also going into another round of testing. As you may recall, the testing that we did was the sampling from the wells was from the late summer. We want to do a round about every 6 months so that we'll get a winter, which will be about, we'll be doing that within the next week or two, and then a late summer again so that we can get a better trend of the concentrations of the nitrate in the wells up the valley. We're doing our own, doing the city wells on a more regular basis, but we wanted to get a much better idea of the dynamics of the...
I think Noah has a question.
Oh.
Yeah, as far as the intended or anticipated format of the meetings with the regional board and the other agencies that have some sort of involvement, do you foresee a roundtable type discussion or kind of working over the phone for now with an anticipated face-to-face meeting in the future?
I would anticipate that there'll be two, I don't want to say levels, but two types of discussions going on. There's the discussion within the regulatory context. Certainly, we as the drinking water system, we have to report to the state health department. So within that context, there's the regulatory arena that we need to address. So we would be holding those discussions, and those would be staff-level discussions. Within the context of the Farm Bureau, the stakeholders, the RCD, and other groups, we would anticipate more of a roundtable workshop formatting of a series of meetings. This is not something that we anticipate will be very quick. It's kind of like I'm trying to try to keep it in as simple terms as possible, but I don't really see a whole lot of difference between what we're seeing in the valley with the nitrate contamination from what we saw with the MTB out of the Shell station, is that you've got this concentration of material that was applied in a specific locale that is spreading down gradient, and I'm comfortable that we haven't seen the worst of it. You know, we see the concentrations are significantly higher up in the valley. As that water starts to move down the valley, because remember that our valleys are very shallow. They're like little fingerlets of permeable materials that contain the water, and that water is migrating towards the ocean. So we've got the high concentration up the valley. We've got less high concentrations at our wells. But as we operate our wells, we create a cone of depression, and the material accelerates down gradient towards us. So we do anticipate that the problem is going to get worse before it gets better. And the key is that we want to see what we can do about reducing the application of the materials. And once we can reduce the application of the materials, then we can do some mechanical means to try to extract that plume and flush the system out. But it's difficult to say how long that would take, but we're anticipating it would be a matter of years before it's all cleaned out and the nitrate levels in the drinking water, and not just in our community, but it's also clearly affecting the drinking water from the private wells in the valley as well. And that's where a lot of people were hesitant to allow us to go and take samples last summer, but we've been contacted by any number of those people now that it's gone public and say, can you come and test ours too? And a number of people have done their own testing and they've come up with fairly large numbers. So we do anticipate that there'll be a multi-pronged approach on it that will be the regulatory arena and then more of the public outreach, more of the stakeholder workshop meetings.
Would those be open to the public?
We haven't really scoped that out yet. We haven't one agenda on next month's agenda or the month after, whatever is good for you, in order to do that.
Okay. With a motion?
Yes, it would need to be agendized because it is an action.
Okay.
So we can do that.
And then my last question would be, when do you anticipate us starting the study of the Chora Valley?
We got the proposal. Right now, we're waiting. We do have a grant application in with the county as part of the Prop 50 program. We are supposed to find out by the end of this month whether the grant funds are available. We do have water fund money that's been allocated for it, but I would anticipate that would be starting probably in mid to late May by the time we get up and running.
Was there anything else, Bill? You were going to mention something about the sewer pipes clogged with roots, et cetera.
Oh, we're continuing to do collection system videos. And I just saw one today. We're working. We've completed the video on what we call the West Beach, which is Atascadero Beach west of Highway 1 between Yerba Buena and Azure. And that one's been completed. There's a lot of roots in the lines coming from places that are several hundred feet away from where a tree is. So it's not just a tree right on the sewer line. Now we're working our way down on the East Beach, starting at Blanca, and working our way down. And we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing a lot of root intrusion, a lot of imperfect pipe joints. And the roots, they exploit the weaknesses to go for the water. So we're seeing quite a bit of roots in the system, in not just in places that we suspected, areas where you've got a large pine tree 10 feet away from the sewer line, but we're seeing root intrusion bad enough to block the lines hundreds and hundreds of feet away from major vegetation. So we're gonna be looking at that as we see more on a programmatic basis, because as you may recall, we hit what we thought were the hot spots, and now we're going on a neighborhood by neighborhood, and we're finding new things all the time.
Are we able to stay on top of it rather than allowing it to become a major problem?
Well, as we find the significant problems, we're dealing with them immediately.
That's good.
There are some more chronic problems that we can do temporary measures through line cleaning and more aggressive line cleaning techniques that will forestall the need to do replacements or linings. But now they're documented, and we know where more of the problems are.
Does anybody have a question on the director's report that wish to address? Go ahead, June, please.
Bill, I thought you might tell us a little bit about the fire station water tank storage system that's been recently placed.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to. And I don't know how much detail you want, but it's something that the fire department has wanted for quite some time. They, on a regular basis, they're required to test the pumps on the trucks. What they've been doing is either going out to Del Mar Park or out to the beach or out to our property out in the Chora Valley to do the testing. And, of course, as they go to a remote area, they're not able to respond to emergency calls. So they wanted to be able to do the testing on the fire station site. As we were developing the plans, it was becoming more and more complex, because you just don't drop a tank in the ground, because there's all kinds of permitting issues. And because the rather tight site, the area that we had where we could put a tank or put a storage system was right under the driveway where the heaviest vehicle loads are occurring. So over a period of months, we looked at a number of different options, and we tried to, while we're putting this in the ground, we're trying to incorporate as many other uses as possible. So we're going to be using this underground system for the collection of roof runoff. We're going to be extracting out of the tank for landscape irrigation and other uses to try to make this use as efficient as possible. The tanks have been installed. They're all connected. They did the final hydrostatic test. They did a hydrostatic test on Monday. We had a couple of leaks. So they drained it down, patched it, retested it. Everything worked out. So we should be burying it in a matter of days, and that huge pile of dirt will start to go away.
Are we instituting any solar panels on the new fire station?
Not in this phase. This phase is we're using more passive systems. We're using a cowl wall system. Keep in mind, is that I mean, it's going to be a nice building, but it is a garage. So we're going to be incorporating more green features in the admin dorm. That's just starting design now. It is our intent to try to get to LEED Silver standards, and we think we can get there.
That'd be excellent. We support you in that, definitely.
Thank you. Yes.
Does anybody else have any?
I just wanted to elaborate a little bit more on that or ask you to, but I understand you're responsible for the design of this tank system, and it's pretty unique in fire departments throughout the state and even the country to be recirculating and reusing that water and capturing it, not only the roof runoff and the hydrant or the pump testing, but also the training of the firemen requires a lot of water that they used to do on site, and that used to just all go down the street.
Right.
So all of that will be able to be captured and recirculated. And I understand you're a big part of that design feature, that it's quite unique.
Everybody's played a role. But it is parenthetically, we have been, I was talking to the chief, and he said that he's been contacted by a number of public agencies and one of the fire truck manufacturing companies because, you know, underground storage tanks are becoming a bigger and bigger regulatory issue. And so the elegance of traffic-rated septic tanks is really starting to show. Is there kind of a no-brainer as long as you get your inlets and outlets configured properly.
Have you documented the installation process with photography? Great. So we could potentially do presentations as we move along.
And we are fortunate that we have very good soil conditions in town. So that has really helped a lot that we haven't had to do a lot of exotic soil preparation that you often see with tank installations.
I just want to thank you for all of us for your hard work on that. And it makes me proud to be a Morro Bay citizen, that we have something that's really can be a model for other communities.
Well, it works for us, and I hope it can work for somebody else.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks.
John, do you have anything you want to add? Noah?
Not on this topic.
Okay. Bill, anything further from Mr. Boucher? Okay. Rob, there might be a couple of questions for you.
Just want to highlight, we issued a contract to BJ&J Construction in Morro Bay for about $34,000. About the 2,500 block of Elm.
You might take a look at the 2,900 block of Elm just in passing.
Okay, we'll take a look at that.
As long as you're on Elm Street.
If that's a smaller job, our own crews can take care of that.
I think own crews.
This 2,500 block is several hundred feet of paving, which is a little bit large for our two-man crew. Also, we recently installed a cross gutter at Dunes in Monterey, and in an effort to keep the cost down, we started out with a very small pave-out section that caused a rather large dip. That was a surprise to many people that encountered that. And after the day that it was in, we noticed the scrapes on it and extended the pave out so that it's a much softer dip there.
I live right next to it, so I can attest to the problems that intersection has had. What I'd like to know, though, is who paid for the repair?
The City of Morro Bay did. They installed the cross gutter to city standards. The city standards did not work at that location.
Because the street is sort of...
Because the street is so highly crowned in that location. We anticipated that having a stop sign there would have the traffic going slow out of the stop sign, but not everybody honors that stop sign there. And it was a surprise to them when they hit that dip.
Are you going to be coming back and restriping that intersection?
The crosswalk will be restriped, stop bars, and the dip signs will become a permanent feature at that location.
Okay, thank you.
That's all really I have from the director's report. Mr. Zwemer did ask a question about our large paving project on Morro Bay Boulevard in Maine via email. I just want to point out that that's probably not going to start until the fall of this year because of we're getting into the summer season. We probably can't issue a contract and get it done in time before Memorial Day to have all the work done. It's a rather large job, and to get good bid prices, I want to have it out there on the streets for a while. And we don't actually have it in the bank yet, but the information has been sent to the Department of Finance. It's a rather routine matter. All the cities that I've talked to, it's just a matter of waiting for it to come in. Once you send the Department of Finance, the information automatically gets transferred to your account. You don't have to invoice them for it. It's what delayed the information to the Department of Finance, they require a link to our website showing that the council approved expenditures of those dollars, and our minutes take a while to get up onto our website. So we're waiting for the minutes to get up there before we could inform Department of Finance. They don't want any paper. They just want to be able to see it electronically.
Very good. Is there anything else? June, would you like to add something, please?
I think the staff person to actually address this is Bruce Keough, and he's not here tonight, but it's on the director's report, so I just thought I'd ask a general question. It has to do, but if that was looked at as a possibility, as phase one, just to get started on that.
Well, and I will say that one of the most critical components in actually being able to use reclaimed wastewater for beneficial purposes is to knock down the mineral content. With all the things that people do to water, there is a lot more salt in the water when it reaches the wastewater treatment plant than when it came out of your faucet. And the treatment techniques that have been selected for the wastewater plant don't do anything to remove salts. So
that was oxidation ditch?
The oxidation ditch, well, actually none of the conventional technologies remove the salts. If you're talking removing salts, you're talking about using some sort of membrane process to physically remove the salts.
Well, in San Luis Obispo, I know they do use reclaimed water.
Yes.
On parks and
yes,
lawns and that kind of thing.
Yes, they do.
And so they have a way of addressing the mineral problem?
Or? I'm sure they do.
Oh.
Okay. But that would be, and that's why I want to mm-hmm. make it clear, yes, we absolutely want to look towards a very practical market analysis on where we can use how much reclaimed water on what sort of schedule. But just to keep in mind that there would need to be, and I usually call it quaternary because that term doesn't exist, but it is one stage of treatment past tertiary to render the water with mineral content acceptable for application for irrigation.
I've been on several tours of the wastewater treatment facility in San Luis Obispo, and I'm trying to recall, but I don't think they have any kind of reverse osmosis process for their water before it is.
Yeah, I can't speak for San Luis. All I know is, you know, we've done the analysis on what the salinity is of our stream.
Mm-hmm. And it would be detrimental even for just watering grass?
Yes.
Oh.
And as part of it is regulatory. The regional board has what they refer to as a basin plan that sets the maximum limits for water that can be applied on the ground within our area. And the level of total dissolved solids, which we use as an indicator of salts, at the wastewater plant is higher than that level for various reasons. But that is something, and it's kind of as a cautionary tale, is that when this plant is ready, when this plant is done, and it's treating to tertiary standards, that doesn't quite get you to reclaim standards. Doesn't quite get you there. And whether you're using cloth filters or a batch reactor or whatever tertiary process you've chosen, doesn't knock down the salts. And that's those are critical components.
How would a constructed wetland work, or how effective would that be in solving the salt and mineral content? Are you aware of that?
That I don't know. I mean, removing the salt from water is not a very delicate process. Generally, you'd be pushing it through a membrane process or doing some sort of distillation.
A way to kickstart the process without needing to install a distribution system.
Yes. But we have looked, as June indicated, we've looked over a period of years at the high school, Kaiser Park, Cloisters landscaping, the Caltrans Highway 1 landscaping, the concrete plant, all those uses in that geographic area as a first stage. And we think that, unfortunately, it's not a whole lot of water that they use. And they don't use it every day. And, of course, the treatment plant never closes. So storage becomes one of the questions. So there's a number of details, but we're absolutely trying to get there.
Is a constructed wetland a consideration within the potential solutions for use of that water?
That I do not know. What our water management plan tells us is that wastewater reclamation is a potable water resource. As such, many of the reclamation studies have been funded by water and then have been analyzed within the context of recovering water for drinking purposes. So we haven't, because of the source of the color of the money, if you will, since the water fund's paying for it, it's about water, and we haven't really gone off of that focus to look at other uses. I'm sure they're out there, but the question of where the money comes from to determine what other types of uses would be feasible hasn't been there.
And that'll come up later in the process of defining the project.
Yes, I think that will probably start to come out during the environmental process that we're fairly close to embarking upon.
2010?
No, I think the last time I was talking with Bruce and Dylan, they had culled the proposals down to three firms. And we're in the process of making a recommendation for a selected firm.
Thank you, Bill. Rob, anything else? Bill, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you both very much. That completes the director's report.
One last thing. Sorry, Robert. I've been considering the idea with the roundabout, and this is in relation to the trees as well, that we may try to transplant the large mature tree that was in the area of eminent domain, I believe. But just curious to know if there's any further idea about that. And I'd like trees, but a cautionary comment would be that may be more expensive than it is worth to try to move a tree such as that. And if we could potentially use those funds to plant more trees within the community to make sure that they're watered and taken care of, might be a better use of money. That was my comment that I've had since.
Well, I can give you an update on that. I've now been told by six arborists that the idea of trying to transplant this tree is probably a bad idea, and that not just that the tree probably wouldn't live, but that we would spend so much money had four trees on it. So that's kind of the scale, kind of a 4-to-1 replacement that we would be looking at in the project area. Of course, we're making sure we're going to site the tree where it should be going in the appropriate location for the appropriate species, and well as incorporating it into an overall landscape plan.
Is that it? Okay. I apologize to you, Mr. Davis. I should have had you come up a lot earlier when I asked for public comments. I didn't notice that presentations were also included at that time. So if you will, please, come to the podium. Mr. Robert Davis is going to present to us a bike committee report on the bicycle paths here in town. And I thank you for coming before us tonight.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson and members of the board, and thank you for the work that you do for the city of Morro Bay. I chair the Citizens Bike Committee. Every year, Council of Governments requests public input as to unmet transit needs and unmet bike needs in the county. This year, Citizens Bike Committee reported to SLOCOG eight local unmet bike needs, and at the same time, we communicated those to the Morro Bay City Council. On February 25th, Council agendized the unmet bike needs and discussed each of them and took preliminary action on those. Mr. Smuckler asked me to come before you tonight and bring you up to date as to what those preliminary actions were. The first was the first unmet bike need is Class 2 bike lanes on North Main Street from Atascadero Road to San Jacinto. This issue was taken up by City Council in either 2003 or 2004. At that time, staff presented a plan to the council for providing Class 2 bike lanes. That plan was ultimately rejected because two local businesses objected to losing on-street parking, which was one of the considerations for providing Class 2 bike lanes. On February 25th, Council Member Winholtz asked the staff to bring that plan back for Council to review at this time. The second unmet bike need was to provide a bike rack out by the Rock. At the February meeting, Council Member Winholtz said that she would prepare a letter to State Parks urging them to place a rack, and Mr. Boucher offered to give State Parks a city-owned bike rack that they could place there on the Embarcadero. And a second unmet bike need to go along with that would be to provide a bikeway through the power plant property from the gate, the driveway that enters the wildlife center. Yeah, wildlife.
It's right off of Main Street. That path you're talking about.
Yeah,
it's the one that goes through the gate off Main and then right.
Right, the Mammal Recovery Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to follow up on those two unmet bike needs, the bridge across Morro Creek and the bikeway through the power plant property, Rachel Alijani and I met with Steve Goschke, who is the power plant manager. And Rachel served on Morro Bay Futures Committee, and she had had some previous discussion with Mr. Goschke about this. Mr. Goschke was very open to the possibility of both of these projects, and they are, in fact, part of the power plant rehabilitation project, which is still going on, still going through the permitting process. And he suspects that the renovation will take place around 2015. We toured the plant, and Mr. Goschke showed us where the pathway will go through the plant, and it is obvious that we can't put a bikeway through the plant now that will provide both security for the plant and provide free access for power plant equipment to move about the plant property to do their work. So I took that information back to the Citizens Bike Committee, and one of the a further possibility for the bridge would be to ask SLOCOG to fund a bridge. The committee talked about that at some length, and the feeling was that we didn't want to do that. And
why not?
Because a permitting process to place a bridge across that creek would likely be as lengthy as the permitting process that the power plant is going through right now. In addition, we felt that there is no in addition. That's the reason that we elected not to follow through with that project. We foresee in the future a bridge being placed by the power plant at no cost to the community or the taxpayers. And we're happy to let that process go through. The next two items is a Class 1 bike trail through the park beside Lower State Park Road. Council is already on record supporting that. And Council Member Winholt said that she would prepare a letter to State Parks reminding them that the council supports that and urging them to build a bike trail. The seventh unmet bike need is maintenance of the Class 1 bike trail from North Main Street near the freeway up into the cloisters. Council asked Mr. Boucher to inspect the Class 1 bike trail and report back. The problem with the bike trail, it appears to be root intrusion underneath the pavement that raises the pavement, causes cracks. During the past week, the worst section of that of the bike trail has been repaired near the baseball diamond. It was an area where we had open cracks, and that has the raised cracks have been planed down, and the cracks have been repaired with asphalt concrete. And the eighth unmet bike need is outside city limits, Toro Creek Bridge on Highway 1. The northbound lanes do not have a shoulder across the bridge, so bicyclists crossing the bridge have to go out into the travel lane. Mayor Peters believes that this project is in the environmental review stage with Caltrans, and so eventually that will be repaired as well. So that's the current status as far as I know.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Davis, for presenting that to us. I'm sure that you might have some questions.
Sure.
John, do you have any questions? June, do you have any questions or comments?
Of course. I ride my bike quite a bit in Morro Bay, and when traveling northbound on Main Street, after you pass Quintana and you go under the freeway, the bike trail is on the left-hand side of the road. In order to get to the bike trail on the left-hand side of the road, you have to go into a turning lane. And there's a lot of traffic on that road. You often have to stop to get over. It seems extremely dangerous to me, not only for a recreational rider like myself, but if students were riding their bikes to Morro Bay High School, that would most likely be the route they take. And I'm just curious why that isn't addressed as an issue on this. I know that there is a new bike path on the west side of Main Street there that's relatively new, but it really doesn't address going northbound on Main Street.
Well, that's the trail that I use. What to the housing development?
I've tried it. It doesn't trigger on a bike.
I've had instances where it does trigger, and I've had one instance where it didn't trigger. So, yeah, it's not a good intersection for bicyclists. The safest way to cross that intersection on a bicycle is probably going to be to act as a pedestrian and get off your bike and walk on a crosswalk.
Just doesn't seem that practical if you have a green light and you're going down that hill.
I agree.
Thank you.
John, did
The businesses that didn't want the lines painted on North Main for the bike lanes, when I drive along there, it appears to me that that east side lane heading, well, the northbound lane looks wide enough to almost be a two-lane side going along. So who determined that it's not wide enough to have a traffic lane and a bike lane and still parking along the side even?
Probably Mr. Boucher can answer better than I can, but there's the Caltrans design manual mandates the width of lanes, motor vehicle lanes and bike lanes. And Bill, do you remember the specifics?
Actually, I do remember myself the history on why we don't have a bike lane there. And it was Mr. Boucher had come up with a very brilliant idea to indent into the sidewalk a parking space, two, with a bulb out, and then two with a bulb out, and then some more. And this would allow a bike lane to fit very well. But it got defeated at the council level by a couple of businessmen complained to one of the councilmen, and therefore it got defeated. It was a great idea. I'll let Bill elaborate further on it. And I still think it can be implemented, and I think it might solve the problem as to why we don't, or how we can get a bike lane on Main. Because I agree. I see people on the west side going south and of Main Street, and it's very dangerous, I think, for bicyclists.
And there is a tendency for people to ride on the sidewalk because they feel safer on the sidewalk. Ever since the defeat of those bike lanes, I know SynCal has got bulb-out parking in front of them, and there's another new business, I think, south of them that has bulb-out parking. And I agree, that does seem to work very well.
Bill, do you want to elaborate on that, please?
I'd be more than happy to. In order to, there are standards for the bike lane widths when the bike lane is up against a curb. And when you factor in that width plus a travel lane for a commercial street and the width of the needed width for on-street parking, come up with a total pavement width of about 40 feet. There's extended portions of Main Street that are between 37 and 39 feet wide. So we're pretty darn close, but not close enough. As Chair was indicating, that drove us to say, okay, how can we from somewhere else? But that's the idea of just needing a couple more feet to do everything according to Hoyle.
Did that answer your question, John?
Yeah, I can add a suggestion.
Please do.
Something the county does in Los Osos and along Tree Road is put up the signs, and I know there was an article in the paper recently saying we've got too many signs already, but I think they work pretty good. I notice them because it makes you aware that that particular road is used by bikes a lot, and North Main certainly is, and that is a picture of a bicycle that says share the road or watch for bicycles. Is there any way, one sign at the 41 intersection and then at Yerba Buena coming the other way could be put up?
Anything other than history, I defer to Mr. Livick.
Go for it, Rob.
Those signs are possible to put up. We would need to determine where we're going to find funding to purchase those signs and have them placed. But signs aren't that expensive, so we could possibly place those signs. We'll look into where the county gets theirs and perhaps place those signs.
It seems like with that lane in particular, it was mentioned if you are riding south, many motorists expect you to be riding with traffic, and in that case, it's very unsafe to be a bicyclist in the southbound lane between the fence and North Main. So I guess on that sign, it would probably be good to have some sort of indication that is clear to the motorists that bicycles are recommended to ride on the east side of the road, whether they're going north or south, which I believe is the case currently.
No, I don't think we would make that recommendation to have bicycles going against traffic. We would want to follow the vehicle code and have follow the law, actually, and have vehicles ride with traffic, occupy that lane as needed. That would be the safest thing to do. I don't believe that riding against traffic is anything that I would recommend that we do.
I guess what there's times where there may need to be adjustments with that philosophy, because essentially if you are riding in the southbound lane, you are pinched between a vehicle and the fence there between Highway 1 and Main Street, and the southbound lane is much less wide than the northbound lane. And personally, when I ride on North Main Street going south, I do not feel safe at all, and I can't imagine us asking a high schooler or someone that may not be as confident on a bike as myself to ride in that zone. So personally, I think that would be a very poor choice for the city to ask cyclists to occupy that side of the lane, just because there's absolutely nowhere to go, and it is a fairly tight fit on that lane in general.
I'd like to put my two cents in on that. Come down into Main Street. They wouldn't be looking for you on that side of the street. So thanks for that clarification. That isn't what you intended when you were talking of the bike lane in that area. Were you speaking of having a two-lane bicycle path on the east side?
No, that would not fit the standards for bike lanes. I would not recommend that the city do anything that violates the vehicle code or the design manual.
But we are then recommending a southbound lane. Okay.
Actually, we're not at the moment recommending anything, because we can't. It's not on the agenda.
But that would be what the...
Wait a second, please. But we do have future agenda session in a moment, and we can address it at that time. Right now, I just want to make sure you're not being uncomfortable standing there. Is there anything else you wanted to add to what you've already added?
No, but I'm happy to continue to
answer questions and stand there. Very good. That's all I was concerned about. Go ahead.
My concern was that right now there is, in my opinion, not nearly enough space on the southbound lane for cyclists. And I hope that if we ever do bike lanes, that would include giving them a bit more room over there, so it is not as tight of a fit as it is currently.
That would be the purpose of the bulb ends, so that we have sufficient lane width for two travel lanes, a parking lane, and two bike lanes.
Two bike lanes. One on either
one
side.
One in each direction.
Oh. Uh-huh. And there is the width there?
All have to be restriped.
Is the width?
There
if
would
we
be
did
the width
the bulb ends,
if we did the bulb ends.
For two correct. Bike lanes.
For
one
two
on
bike
side.
Lanes. We're not proposing to send people north without a way to get back south.
Okay.
I'd like to add, too, that when you stripe Class 2 bike lanes, the lanes include signs, not share the road signs, but signs that designate that there is a Class 2 bike lane there that warns motorists, and also stenciling in the lane that clearly differentiates the bike lane from the motor vehicle travel lane.
Could you define what a Class 2 bike lane is versus, say, a Class 1? I'm not clear on that designation.
Okay. Class 1 multi-use trail is physically separated from motor vehicles.
Oh.
And it is not strictly a bike trail. A Class 1, by definition, is intended for all non-motorized users. A Class 2 bike lane is striped at the edge of the motor vehicle travel lane, and it includes signs and stenciling. There's also a Class 3 bike route that is this has only signs, and it is typically a low-volume street, has slow-moving motor vehicle traffic and very light traffic, and is generally recognized as safe for experienced bicyclists to traverse.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
It's up to you.
All right. 772-0874.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I have one small thing to add to the unmet bike needs. The pavement repairs on the bike path adjacent to the high school are temporary repairs, just to get us through until school gets out. Then we're going to go in there and we have to tear out a little piece of it to do a more permanent fix in that location, because we had to actually thin out the pavement section there. So after school gets out this summer, we'll be doing a more permanent repair, and we'll sign it a couple weeks ahead of time, alerting people that we'll be in there doing our repairs.
Well, thank you very much for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, Rob. Mr. Davis, that looks like your presentation has come to an end, and I thank you very kindly for sharing your knowledge with us.
You're welcome.
And I'm going to recommend a future agenda item concerning the bike path.
Okay.
So if you want to stick around, and maybe if you have any questions or answers you might want to add in that discussion, please do. Otherwise, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for all the good work you do for bicyclists in our community.
Thank you. I have a couple of pieces of mail. May I approach the board?
By all means, please do. Thank you. Oh, a little postage, yes. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That brings us to old business, which we have none that I'm aware of, new business that we have none that I'm aware of, and now we're on to future agenda items. And I did write down three notes, but I'll wait and see what my fellow board members have. Bill, anything for you?
No.
Noah.
Just the one about the suggestion that we appoint a PWAB representative to the potential nitrate roundtable discussion with the city and the other stakeholders.
That's one of mine, yes, by all means. Can we put that on the agenda for next meeting, Rob or Bill?
Please. Yes, sir. And I might note we spoke to Ms. Burlingame. She will be ready for the garbage company item for next month.
Is that a long?
That will probably be a long one, because it's not just a rate adjustment. They're also in discussions about perhaps extending the contract.
Okay, dokey.
So that could be a fairly long item.
Okay. Well, then our timeline on that meeting might be a little. Well, let's see. How long would it take for us to discuss having a member on the nitrate roundtable?
2.5 minutes.
Please put it in for the next meeting. Thank you. Is that agreeable to the board? Okay. No, anything else? June, do you have any thing you wish to have us discuss at some time in the future?
No, I don't, but I do have something I wanted to bring up before we go to adjournment.
So, your traffic control operation out there, county or the state work crews are hesitant to allow their prisoners to work out there. We're trying to work with the county to get their mower, because they have a piece of machinery that can mow that, to pay them to actually mow that area, so we don't have to set up traffic control. But we're having discussion with them on what the trade or the payment will be.
I know they're doing their rounds now, that mower with the arms. So soon this year?
We'll do something this year.
Mine wasn't done. I'm sorry. I have a couple that I'd like to put on for the future, and the one is the bike lane on North Main Street that we just were discussing. I think we ought to have a discussion on that, and I don't think it would fit on the next meeting, though. But I think there are things we could do and discuss and make some recommendations to the council, one of them being the bold bins, but also another being having Caltrans. I believe Caltrans is set to put in a new fence, new fencing going along there.
Caltrans does have a transportation enhancement project for along North Main from about Highway 41 all the way to the north end of town. Their construction schedule is still out there a ways. The anticipated completion date, I know, is, I believe, June 2011 for construction of that chain link. They're still in the permitting design phase of this black chain link fence.
Well, let me ask if there's room.
And entry feature enhancements.
Okay. Well, first let's find out if there's an interest on the board.
I just want to make a comment. If we're discussing changing the lane features, that part of Main Street, I know we're not discussing it now, but in general, if that is coming up, that we should interface with Caltrans. If they're designing the fence area, I'd hate to have the two plans conflict with each other. You know, we do something sooner, and then they come along, and it doesn't work with what we've done.
The fence will be replaced in its current location. In fact, they're investigating to see if they can use the same fence supports to keep the cost down and paint those black or use the same foundations for those.
Do they know that it's a scenic highway?
And it is their scenic highway.
And it is literally just going to be a black chain link fence to the tune of $900,000, as I recall.
Black vinyl clad chain link with entry features at San Jacinto and Yerba Buena. So some sort of either concrete. I think they're now eliminated the wood piling feature because of potential maintenance costs. A concrete wave type design with maybe some sort of.
Member Pierce, who raised the issue of Adopt a Tree program, and I'd like to have a discussion by this board of reinstituting the Adopt a Tree program. And for a brief history for those of you who weren't here, this took place a few years ago. Roger Pelletier, who was our tree person on staff at that time, organized this, and there were about 35 to 40 of us.
He and Wally McCrae.
Wally McCrae was involved in it, but everybody got one or two trees, and we all got buckets, and we implored our neighbors to donate water, and we took care of trees.
Session on how to take care of them for me. Yeah, we had a training session on how to take care of the trees and trim them and so forth.
Yes, and it was very effective, I thought. And we got a lot of public trees planted and maintained, and I think it's time to do it again. I agree with Councilmember Pierce, and I'd like this board to consider discussing it and reinstituting it.
That's a good idea. I would suggest that, if possible, we invite Roger Pelletier and Wally McCrae to participate whenever that meeting may come up.
That would be a very good idea. Can we still get Roger back, do you think, Bill, to make an appearance?
Well, he's awfully busy these days.
I know.
He's coaching softball, high school softball right now, so it should be after that softball season is over.
Very good. But I think if you talk with him, please alert him that he may be requested to appear before P. Webb.
I will see him soon.
At his leisure, we hope. Okay. So we have for the future agenda, we have the three items, the bike lane in North Morro Bay, the nitrate roundtable discussion, which will actually be next meeting, and then adopt a tree program. The bike lane and the adopt a tree I'd like to get to before August, if possible. Okay. And we have consensus on the board for that? Very good.
So then to summarize, for next meeting, we will do the appointing the member to the nitrate roundtable.
Correct.
As well as the garbage company.
Correct.
Item.
And I think that...
And then pending nothing else dropping from the sky, then we could do the North Main bike lanes and adopt a tree in June.
What I'd like, though, also... in that meeting is maybe for Rob to give us just a very, very brief update on the urban forest tree management plan and the status of where that's sitting right now, please.
Yeah, we can do that with the Adopt a Tree program. It'd be really appropriate to fit those two together.
Okay. I'll go for that. Thank you. Is there anything else? Anybody want to offer a comment on anything? Please, June.
The item that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time now. Or I just wanted to ask about the field trip again that we talked about and make sure that that will still work for staff.
Yes. That is, Mr. Chair, that is what we do need to adjourn to is special meeting of... We can possibly have the city-owned trolley available for trolley pooling around to these various facilities.
Are we going to sing along the way, too?
I'll leave that up to the board.
What day of the week is the 23rd?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And it's at 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.
So this is a little different than the one that Noah and I went on a couple of years ago. This, oh, party, I'll join. Let's 10 a.m., thank you. All righty, is there anything else? Thank you, June, for mentioning all of that. Anything else from anybody? Then I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Seconded and moved by Bill, seconded by Noah. Adjournment to our next regular meeting Wednesday, May 21st.
We're adjourning to the special meeting.
What?
On the 23rd. April 23rd.
That's like we did that before.
Oh. All right. I'll go along with that. We're adjourned until April 23rd at our next, well, whatever. But the next meeting, PWEB, for those of you out there in TV land, will be May 21st, 2008, our regularly scheduled PWEB meeting. What's happening on the 23rd at the party, I have no idea. But
the record should reflect that the board is adjourning to a special meeting on Wednesday, April 23rd, 10 a.m. at the City Public Services Department, 955 Shasta, for the board to take a tour of facilities. That's a week from today. Yes, sir.
Approved and seconded.
Thank you all very much for clarifying that for me. I apologize. We are now adjourned. Thank you.